times have changed since I've been gone. You had the Satin Slayer and the Beaters on. I'm not coming home. They took me in when I quote unquote died. Yeah, they tortured me for weeks. Told me that they would kill you and my precious son Frankie. So I've been gone for 20 years. I've been to Canada and to Europe too. I'm not coming home. I had to run, I had to flee, though I don't know what they want from me. I'm not coming home. I've been chased by these bad people, yeah, I think they're nasty and big. They're really bad and they're really mean, and they made me wear a wig. I've never seen their faces, nope, not yet. Don't even know if there's a threat. I know that it hurts you and little Frankie, but Angie, I'm not coming home. Not coming home. I'm not coming home, Angie. I'm sorry that it hurts your feelings, but I'm thinking about you, baby. We'll see, Jesse. We'll see. This week on All My Children, Jesse's been on the run for 20 years and he's still running. From what? He doesn't know.
Here today, gone tomorrow, JR's bone marrow gets stolen by Richie.
Read my pregnancy test. I ain't pregnant, Kendall tells Pine Valley.
And ho hum, Erica Kane is in jail again. And even her daughter doesn't feel the need to visit her.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending February 22nd, 2008. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am Peter.
Pedro. We call him Pedro. I don't know why you are in denial about your name, Pedro.
My name is Peter.
Pedro's much sexier, much more interesting.
That was my name, was Peter.
Anyway, people, I pulled Pedro away from Entertainment Television's pre-show Oscars fashion red carpet presentation. So he's a little distracted today.
I don't know if that's the full name. That seems a little long.
It's something like that.
I think it's just a red carpet celebration.
Well, you kind of hard to get though, Pedro. I had a couple of viewers write in saying that they have missed you.
I have a lot to do around the house.
What do you mean?
Things need to be fixed. Hallways need to be painted. Trash needs to go out.
Has Henrietta been bothering you again?
Henrietta in apartment 4D?
That's all you got for the viewers? You've been taking out the trash?
Listen.
They've missed you, Pedro.
Well, listen, Ashley Mendoza. You've had a whole...
A whole slew of guest hosts.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not really true, because I only have Taylor, who's once in a blue moon.
Yes.
Who we love having. And Jordan Hudson, who is our Soapcyclopedia Hudson.
Encyclopedia Hudson.
That's right. Soapcyclopedia. He knows his stuff. Anyway, viewers, this is a very, very important week on All My Children. It was a masterful week on All My Children, if you ask me. It ended a little bit with a thud to me. I don't know how you felt that, Pedro.
Yeah, I think so.
Considering that when we watched Friday's episode together, Pedro kept saying, boring, boring, boring.
I was just hoping something else would be sponsored by Campbell's Soup.
You're going to get me in trouble again. Someone got mad at me because they thought I was dissing on Campbell's Soup. Like on the, not so much on Campbell's Soup, but on the cause, the heart healthy cause, the benefit they were doing.
It's a great cause.
It is a great cause. I just don't want to see my man Zach, who one of our listeners pointed out, my man Zach toasting a Fusion V8 instead of a more whiskey or something like that.
It was like everywhere you looked, someone was drinking a Fusion V8.
It was really kind of gross.
Or it was like, you know, like every moment it would be like, oh, you know what? I just have to put this case of Campbell's
Healthy
Chunky
request.
Soup back in the
office. Yeah. It was really, it was kind of gross.
It's not good.
Can I ask you, was that green? Greenlee served Zach in the break room a bright green drink in like big champagne flutes.
Yes.
What was that? It was like nuclear green.
It was that, or it was antifreeze that you put.
Antifreeze. Yes. It looked like antifreeze.
Yeah.
And I laughed so hard because when Zach took a sip of it, he kind of went, oh, like he didn't like it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's my man. He is no wussy boy Ryan with the Nivea Gold Lotion. I'll tell you right now, that my man Zach is all man.
I don't know if there's any naturally green drinks like that.
Not that like, green,
you
right?
You can't even play that that's a green drink.
You cannot.
And it's the opposite of the Campbell's Red.
Well, at least Lily could drink it.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
We didn't see Lily all week because of the
Campbell's Red. Because she couldn't handle that.
No Campbell's Red. She can't have Campbell's Red.
She can't. She couldn't be.
She couldn't do it.
She couldn't be anywhere near it.
So listen, people. All right. So the week started out great, 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 phenomenal, incredible because of the couple known as J&A. I think that's what I'm seeing on the blogs, J&A. Jesse and Angie. And we got their reunion this week.
Okay? I thought you were going to say Jack and Erica with an A.
No.
Oh.
First of all, that is not the reunion of the century. That is like a nightmare of the century. And second of all, Erica starts with E.
I know.
Duh.
Okay.
Pedro, I think your Birkenstocks are on too tight today. I think you got to loosen
them buckles. I need to loosen a strap.
I think so. Maybe take off them wool socks. He's got double pair of wool socks on, people.
It is cold, and it was snowing.
Well, then don't wear Birkenstock sandals in the snow and winter.
Well, that's why you wear the double wool socks.
Ideal, people. I don't know how he survives the projects. I don't get it. I don't know how he lives here. It doesn't make no sense.
I'll tell you why. Because everyone knows I'm handy.
That's true. That's true. When he's getting mugged, he pulls out his Swiss Army knife, and he's like, I'll fix your sink. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, all right.
All right, that's cool.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. So anyway, all right, people. So we started the week with Jesse and Angie. Now, as you recall, and some of our viewers pointed out too, it was very informational for me. They filmed the train scene where Angie found Jesse in New Hope, Pennsylvania. So that's why they had this whole sort of, and New Hope, Pennsylvania is apparently a very like old fashioned type homey town that's kind of retained its old flavor and all that stuff.
You could say it's like a backwards little town.
But it's not because it's very quaint.
It is quaint, but I mean, the trains run backwards. Oh.
I get it. Ba-dum-bum. I get it, Pedro. It's going to be a long show. Anyhow, so they're in New Hope, Pennsylvania, but really they're in Pine Valley, Pennsylvania. And so they finally see each other and like, they run to each other, and then, like, this dumb Fusion Campbell show, like, cuts off the action, and I'm, like, screaming at the television. And now, my high-definition television has all kinds of marks from the shoes that I throw at it. So I'm, like biting my slipper, like tearing at it because I don't want to throw it at the television because I'm so mad at the Fusion interruptions.
That is why I installed the plexiglass shield in front of me.
He did, too,
Carlos had me install a plexiglass shoe shield.
It's helping a little bit now, though. Towards the end of the week, it was helping.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really much to throw at the TV about. Right. Except for, we'll talk about JR and Babe making love. Woo. Woo. That's a whole lot of flesh flapping right there. We'll talk about that, people. So anyway.
When JR and Babe, I can't tell who has better hair.
I can't either.
It's tough.
It's very difficult.
It's a difficult choice.
It's a difficult choice.
Okay.
Well, anyway. Angie is looking at Jesse and she's saying, you know, is it really you? And she could barely stand up and she falls into his arms, realizing that it's him. And he takes her away, right? And I guess they go to like their old shack. I don't remember this, people. It could be. I don't know. But they have some old shack that they used to go to. And he tells her that no one can know that she's alive. And like, I can't stop crying, people, because they're kissing each other, Pedro, all over like. They're devouring each other. I don't mean like that's how they're kissing. I'm just like, it's like they can't get enough. Like they can't get close enough. Have you ever had that feeling in your life, Pedro, where you just can't get close enough to another human being?
I might need to loosen my sandals to think about that.
I think so, but probably. I felt that way with Gucci. My dog Gucci.
I'm very close with
her. I love Gucci. She's very cuddly.
I'm very...
She don't talk back like Carlos. He sasses. She don't sass. So that's why I like to cuddle with her.
I am very close with my mother.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love. And it's funny, viewers, because all week we have Crystal commenting on how special the love that Jesse and Angie have is. And every time she says it, it's like another dagger in Tad's heart. Not that Tad is like crazy in love with Crystal, but like how many times does a woman have to remind the man that she ain't crazy in love with him?
Yeah, he has a plexiglass shield around him. Just bouncing that off, because that's got to hurt his ego.
I'm telling you, it's got
to
hurt.
Can you imagine the love that they share? I mean, we have a good love. It's fine.
It's fine. It's good.
I mean, it's okay.
But Jesse and Angie, oh my goodness. Yes. They are in love. But they are in love, people. And it was amazing. Like, that kind of kissing and touching that was like, just they needed to be together. So, Jesse starts in with like, and Jesse... I gotta tell you, towards the end of the week, I was getting a little annoyed with Jesse because he was kind of starting to annoy me with his like, we can't be here. You don't understand, Angela. They're after me, Angela. Well, who, Jesse? Who is after you? I don't know. But they gonna kill me.
I've been on the run for 20 years.
20 years, Angela. They tortured me, Angela.
Who? Who's torturing you?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You've been on the run for 20 years.
I know they're very dangerous.
Who's dangerous?
I don't know. All week, people. It's like a little frustrating. So anyway, but listen. Monday and Tuesday's episode, at least Monday, Angie said, you know, I don't want to hear it. Jesse, just give me my dream. And I was crying like a baby. When she said, give me my dream and don't even talk about... It's like that song, you know that song? We got tonight, who needs tomorrow? We got tonight, babe, why don't you stay? You know that song?
Yes, I do.
It's like that.
Right.
It makes me so teary-eyed.
Yes.
I'm very sensitive person.
Clearly.
Pedro.
Yes.
You, not so much, viewers, not so much. I never seen you cry at a movie, Pedro. What's your favorite movie, Pedro?
I cried at Lassie.
But you were 10 years old when you saw that. That don't count.
Oh, that doesn't count.
What's your next favorite sad movie?
Are we talking a romantic movie?
Something that made you cry.
Star Trek The Wrath of Khan.
I knew it, people. I was going to say that or Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the whatevers.
Sith.
That's what I was going to say. Anyway, that movie made me cry because it was so boring. I was like, oh, I want to go home. I was crying so hard. I want to go home. Anyway, so listen. So then they make love, okay? But not before he tells her that he'd been tortured. So he shows her his bag and she goes, Jesse! And she starts crying. And... I love the line where he's like, we gotta be careful, Angie. These people, you don't understand. They have eyes everywhere.
Who?
I don't know.
It's like... I cannot imagine giving that line to... I mean, can you imagine you come home to your girlfriend or your wife, whatever it is, and you lay out that there are people after me? I mean, it's been 20 years. You could have come up with something better.
But I gotta tell you one thing. They finally make love after that, right? And I'm telling you, Angie was wearing that like Yoda, like Obi-Wan Kenobi coat. Why the hell didn't they put her in that Chinja Roka, whatever it's called, that $3,000 coat they had her in the first episode? Because that Yoda coat was bulky. And like making love to Angela in that Yoda coat, it was not easy. It was very challenging.
Yeah.
So the Yoda coat comes off. And they finally make love to Alicia Keys, the Alicia Keys song, and I'm loving it. But I didn't love people. They chose to do like a slow-mo. Not so much a slow-mo thing. Like they cut. Like they'd show a thing and they'd cut and then they'd cut and then they'd cut. There were a lot of cuts. Like you didn't see like one sort of fluid lovemaking scene. And that's what I wanted to see. See, I like it when a man takes his time. You know what I'm saying, Pedro? He don't know what I'm saying. But I do. I like when a man takes his time. I don't like no jump cuts. I need to see and feel and experience everything because I'm a sensitive person. You know what I'm saying? He's just looking at me, people, like he don't know. I wish you people could see how he's looking at me.
I'm just still trying to figure out who Jesse was running from.
I don't know. I don't know.
But you move from place to place. You must have seen them or seen someone.
No! I don't know. The whole week, people. So then...
Oh, that's fine. Okay. That's perfectly okay then.
Well, I just wanted to see the make love is my point. I wanted to see nice, slow, delicious lovemaking. And I don't feel like we got that necessarily. But it was pretty good. I mean, you people may disagree. And you're absolutely free to disagree. This was just my humble opinion. You know what I'm saying? So after they make love, Jesse has to explain like where he's been. And he's like, he worked for the game preserve. He was in Canada, Europe, Iguazu Falls. He was all over the world. Running from?
I don't know.
Exactly. He don't know. But what he does know, after 20 years, they are still after him. And they are dangerous. You don't know how dangerous they are.
Neither does he.
He don't know. So anyway, so she kind of like begs him to stay, right? Never to leave her again. And in the meantime, while we have them going back and forth, we see a little bit of Tad and Crystal. And Tad and Crystal's home, I got to tell you, I like Tad and Crystal's home. It's kind of homey. It reminds me of the Martin's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his parents.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it. I don't know. It just hit me that day when I was watching on that episode. But anyway, Frankie comes over. He's looking for Angie. He can't find her. She's been gone like for a couple days now. So they finally figure out where Jesse and Angie are, and they go and they see them.
Hold on. You have to talk about how Tad figures out where they are.
How did Tad figure out? I don't remember.
He said, you know what we need? We need a map. We need an old map. And it's like he goes into some shoebox, pulls out an old map, and is like, here they are.
He's Tad.
He is. He's a private dick.
He's a private detective, and he's excellent at his job. The best in the world. And you know what? If you leave it up to him, he gonna find out who these people are.
Clearly. Him or Aiden? Because Aiden's another one.
What do you like to call Aiden?
I like to call Aiden, because he's a detective, much like the detective Columbo, except Aiden isn't quite as bright as Columbo, so I call him Cladumbo.
He calls him Cladumbo. I like that, Cladumbo. Cladumbo was on fire this week. All right, so running through, yes. As Pedro says, Tad, through his masterful detecting, was able to find out where Jesse and Angie are. So he goes and he busts him, and Jesse's pissed because now everybody's in a whole lot of danger.
Hold on. How dangerous can these people be if it took Tad 30 seconds to figure out where they are and these people haven't been able to find Jesse for 20 years?
What? You got a point. He's got something of a point, I believe. It's a pretty good point, Pedro.
Just a point.
Once in a while, Pedro comes out with a very thoughtful and thought-provoking analysis, and that's why I like to have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they all meet, and then they hear something, and Tad has a gun, and he goes out to check out who's out there, and it's Frankie, because Frankie is smarter than all of them and figures out that all he's got to do is follow Tad, and then that's it. You know, he knows where everything, what's going on. So Frankie and Jesse meet, and I am just astounded.
There's some good acting going on there.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But you know what? I had a question, and I might put it on the blog this week.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good person to bounce this off of.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with Jesse and Angie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jesse and Angie like I remember my first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I love them. I lived for those shows that they were on. I lived for the whole Jesse and Angie story. So for me, seeing these two people together is like incredible for me. How is it for someone that doesn't have that history? Like, are people enjoying it that don't have that history?
I gotta say, I feel like they can at least act. The only thing that's annoying about the whole thing is, honestly, is that Jesse, they couldn't come up with a decent story for why. Think about the motivation. He had to abandon his family for 20 years.
That he desperately loved.
That he desperately loved, and go into hiding and stay in hiding for 20 years. And then he comes back because his son is sick.
Hasn't his son been sick before?
His son hasn't been sick in the hospital like that, Pedro.
Like, whatever it is, my point is that it what the story that he has to sell is so it's ridiculous.
But here's
the thing.
It is
a ridiculous story.
But even Angie said that there was a lot that Jesse wasn't telling, and she knew that.
I know, but it's honestly...
And so we know that they're paving the way for a much longer, much more complicated story.
Which is so dumb, because it's boring. It's so boring to hear some whole plot and this and
you
blah, blah,
blah.
You're an
instant gratification type of man, ain't you?
No, I'm just telling you.
You got like 200-300 episodes a year of these soap operas to make. You can't just fold out the story instantly. You got to take your time,
But that's what's a shame. You asked me if it was good seeing them. Yes, it's good seeing them. They can act, and that Frankie guy can act, obviously. It's compelling and interesting. But unfortunately, you get bored with them having to live in this ridiculous... It is ridiculous that he doesn't know what he's been doing. That's all.
I agree. But I know it has to fill a lot of days, a lot of episodes, so I'm a little more patient.
So...
Well, basically what happens is that on Friday's episode, you have the whole episode. First, you got Frankie trying to figure out why the hell Jesse's been gone. And you got some amazing acting going on right there. And then you have Angie coming back in. And it's like after all this, seeing Angie making love to her, seeing Frankie, Tata Crystal walk in, Jesse insists that he's still going to leave.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's he's like I'm going to leave. And they're like, why?
And his whole point was just you being near me, it endangers you. Otherwise, that's why he had to stay away for so long. It's like those people all need to die now just because you see him. So now that he's basically been with them, they're all going to die anyways. So then why would he have to leave?
Might as well stay.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. But what I will say is that I did like, okay, there are a couple moments people wear for me. I'm going to be blatantly, brutally honest. Couple moments for me when I was like, it's a little too much yelling and a little too much of the same thing being said over and over. And I don't know. It was towards the end of the week. I was feeling a little tired of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you left me. I had to. Why? Because you was in danger. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I mean.
It was a little bit all like that all week. So I was a little tired of it. But towards the end, Miss Debbie Morgan pulled out the line of the week that I loved it. And she said, Jesse, if you choose to leave me, you'll be worse than dead to me. You have disappointed me, Jesse. And that gets him. And that got me, too. Because mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's true. Like, after all that, like, he's going to go. I mean, that, you know, so that got to him. So then he says, very cute at the end, they all chime in and they all decide that they're all going to help Jesse. And he, you know, says to Angie, who he goes, Angela Hubbard. I love when he calls her Angela Hubbard. He says, you had me at disappointed. And I thought that was cute.
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did. I am excited to see them, you know.
That's good news.
Yeah.
That's good news. Well, then at the end of the whole week, though, this is where I get very mad at the casting people. At the very end of the week, we see some young, like, guard rewinding tape and showing some other guy that Jesse is indeed alive because he caught him walking through the hospital. But what pisses me off, people, is that the voice of the person that you couldn't see sounded like a 20-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. Now, why the hell would a 20-year-old kid be like, we got him. Jesse Hubbard's still alive. We got him.
Because maybe Jesse Hubbard did something to him as an embryo.
Maybe. That's all I could think of, too. Because, you know, I like give me, like, who's like a William, what's his name, from Star Trek? You know Star Trek.
William Shatner.
Yeah, give me like a William Shatner type. You know what I'm saying? Like an evil type. Like Vanessa, Leo's mom, when she was that mean Odysseus or whatever it was. I forgot the name of that person, but y'all probably remember. Now I'm forgetting. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I wish Jordan Hudson was writing, because last week he came up with the scenario that was so good. So good. So good. I hope they don't ruin it.
The one thing I will say that's interesting is that kind of that plot twist of like the dead body in the bomb shelter, and it turns out to be, you know,
Well, yes. So, okay. So, we'll go into that a little bit. At the end of the week, we see Greenlee, Zach, Kendall, and Aiden meeting at Fusion to talk to Derek, who real Derek is back, people. I'm so happy that real Derek is back. And I shouldn't say real Derek. Not that the other guy wasn't real. I don't want to get into all that real Greenlee trouble. But the Derek that was most recently playing him is back from his Broadway stint. So, I'm very happy to see that because I love that actor. But anyway, he comes back to tell them that Styx McGee. Remember when Greenlee found that bone and she got all scared?
Mm-hmm.
Styx McGee. In the bomb shelter. Yeah, in the bomb shelter. Styx McGee was a guy who actually, Jesse died. Jesse took a bullet for this guy. Remington, I think. Was that his name?
Mm-hmm. John Remington.
John Remington. That's
also
right.
Also known as Remy.
That's right. So he died. Actually, he died. He was killed somehow. But originally, he was saved by Jesse. And I guess after Jesse died, he went out with Angie.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a big mystery as to why he died.
Right.
And Derek was there questioning Greenlee and Zach because you never know. They could know why.
They could know why.
They could know.
Yeah.
The guy's been dead 20 years, but and they found a bone. Mm-hmm. They could know.
Mm-hmm.
They could know something.
Well, they got to explore all their leads.
That's right. Derek Fry leaves no stone unturned.
Mm-hmm.
He's very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Very thorough.
Yes.
At the beginning of the week, people, we had the remainder of the Fusion show. Were you people laughing like I was at the Fusion show? I was laughing my butt off. Ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. It was completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a fashion show with like two fashions. Do you know what I'm saying? Like one woman would walk down the runway. Like, say Blanche walked down the runway. She would walk down the runway for like 10 minutes in the same dress.
It could have been a long runway.
Like 2 feet long. She was like running and turning and walking and turning for like 10 minutes, and each fashion would get the same thing. It would get like the same 5 minute walk, and people would be like, "Woo, yay, wow!" And then they had the grand finale, and the grand finale was the same people in the same dresses, just all at the same time. It was ridiculous. The only good thing was Erica's final dress, because she changed her dress in the end, and she came out in the grand finale Mac Daddy dress, and that was cool. But all the mother dresses, Colby walked the runway first. I thought she was adorable. And then Ava, but you know what, people? I thought it was really interesting, really, really interesting, because Ava was the only one to me, Levin Rambin, who was able to walk that runway confidently. And Blondie. I'm going to give Blondie credit. But everyone else seemed awkward. Even my little Chriselle Stouse as Amanda looked a little tiny bit awkward.
Mm.
It is not easy to be a model.
It is not easy to be a runway model.
That's right. You got to walk and shimmy your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have some stuff to shimmy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those girls don't got no stuff to shimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe got no stuff no more. She lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
She went on a very, very extreme diet.
Mm-hmm.
She lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
She's too skinny. Too skinny. I think she's leaving the show, Pedro. I heard she was leaving.
Really?
Yeah, which would not be good because I finally like her. I like her a lot, actually. I think she's very talented. Anyway, and then they do these like slow-mo things when they're on the runway. It was pretty funny. I don't know. Babe stole Amanda's dress, people, because she wanted to seduce chubby JR. He's chubby. Why are you looking at me like that, Pedro? I call a spade on this program. People listen to this program to hear Ashley Mendoza call a spade, and JR is chubby.
He's got great hair.
It's all right hair. I don't like it though. It's not my style.
It's just the most, I've never seen someone's hair so perfectly pedicured.
Straight and blonde and bleached.
Yes.
Anyway. So, and Babe looked a little awkward walking down. You know, they all looked a little awkward, but Blondie looked pretty good. Pretty good. So what else happened at this fashion show? Oh, the fake eyelashes were good. Everyone had fake eyelashes. Those were good. Very good. And I kind of like the interspersing, like Ryan showed up and Ryan's looking at Kendall, who looks beautiful, or like lovingly, because as you people recall, he thinks it's still 2004, but it ain't. It's 2008. And Kendall don't love him no more. She moved on. So I like that, though. I really like that. Anyway, I am dwelling on the Fusion show way too much. I'm giving it much more than it actually deserves.
Who was the show sponsored by?
Oh, by Campbell's. Campbell's Healthy Request Soup. Keeps your heart healthy.
Yep.
Prego spaghetti full of lots of vitamins and minerals. And don't forget to drink your Fusion V8.
That's right. Delicious.
Delicious and nutritious. And so good going down. You're supposed to Pedro.
Oh, oh, oh.
That was your cue to fake laugh.
Oh, I didn't
That was
realize.
Part of the joke.
Oh.
Ay, Dios mío, Pedro. What am I going to do with you? I think you'd rather talk about Greenlee and Kendall, huh?
Greenlee and Kendall?
You love Greenlee and Kendall. Greenlee told Aiden about Kendall's pregnancy test. And then Aiden confronts Kendall. And she's, of course, defensive. Now, Erica, at this point, is being let out by the police in handcuffs. Okay? I'm just going to digress for 1 second. She gets arrested for insider trading by the Samuel Woods. Okay? And Kendall holds her stomach. Like, she's been doing dumbass obvious things all week to indicate that she is pregnant. Like, pulling out pregnancy tests here and there and everywhere.
I've never seen someone with more pregnancy tests.
I really haven't either.
I mean, she's got, like, every pregnancy test and they're, like, falling out of her purse all the time.
But she, with some help. Like, if she pulls them out.
But if she got lost, she could turn around and follow the pregnancy... The pregnancy test back to where she got lost from.
It would be like Hansel and Gretel with the breadcrumbs.
Right.
Except there would be pregnancy tests.
That's right.
So, dumbass Aiden spills the beans in front of Greenlee and tells Greenlee that he confronted Kendall about the pregnancy and that Kendall denied it. And then Greenlee lets him off the hook. Like, wouldn't you be curious why your boyfriend was getting involved in your best friend's pregnancy test? Like, wouldn't you be a little curious?
I guess.
They all go, people. After Erica gets arrested, they all go and have drinks at Confusion.
Mm.
Nobody worries about Erica. Nobody cares. She's in jail.
That is true.
No, they were at a party. An all-night party.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall has 2 babies at home.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother's in jail, and she goes to Confusion to drink V8s.
Well, it's a delicious
and
drink.
And nutritious.
It's an after-hour cocktail drink.
You put a little vodka in it, it's perfect.
Nothing says end of the night like a bottle of tomato juice.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Delish. All right, so then we have, like, stupid stuff. Like, stupid innuendo. Like, really, like, wouldn't that be funny if you were Kendall's baby's father? Oh, my God. Like, so... Pedro is, like, shaking his head in disgust. He can't even speak right now.
It is true.
You know? Kendall takes that damn pregnancy test, people. I kid you not. She leaves the stall to check out the result. She is in the area, in the powder room area where you powder your nose and put on your lipstick. And she's reading and holding a pregnancy test up to the light.
Well, I'm glad she's keeping it private.
She ain't.
That's my point.
Duh, right? Mm-hmm. Stupid. So, of course... Who comes in to the ladies' bathroom but dumbass Cladumbo Aiden?
Well, he's a detective.
I'm going to tell you one thing right now, people. Thank God she ain't pregnant because that would be the dumbest, doofiest kid in all of Pie Valley. And I would not be afraid to say it. Dumbass, doofy Aiden Kendall kid. That was what it would be. Anyway, I would call him Dak. Dumbass Aiden Kendall kid. Dak. That'd be a good name.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Hart.
Not if you're Dak.
Anyhow, Greenlee and Kendall are finishing up their makeup. And Kendall's like, just Greenlee, do me a favor. Please do not tell Zach about the pregnancy test. I don't want him to worry and I don't want to tell him. And so who hears? But Zach.
Mm.
Kendall, why didn't you want to tell me you were pregnant? Something like that. So then, but listen, people. Out of this dumbass stuff comes a beautiful moment. And this is why I love Zach and Kendall. And some people don't, but I do. Because Zach looks at her with, they go home and they talk about it. And he talks to her like a husband and a wife, like a woman, and says, you know, did this ever work before? Secrets? Having secrets? I'm your husband. I'm your best friend. You know, and it's true. It's so true. Kendall's always keeping shit from him. She never learns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Kendall's always keeping stuff from him. She never learns, you know. And he, like, looked at her and it broke my heart. And I was like, damn, he is the man. I love him. So then they kind of talk about it. And she weasels her way out, you know. And she says, you know, she's glad she's not pregnant. And she says, I'm kind of relieved, frankly. I've never even gotten to know Ian very well.
You mean the tiny child?
The tiny child, the second baby that Kendall had. She's forgotten a little bit about
it. Well, I know why she probably doesn't know Ian very well.
Why do you think?
She can't find him.
He's so tiny.
She's misplaced him.
Well, he's not tiny anymore, but let me tell you something. He ain't nowhere to be found in that household.
He is not.
I have never seen the child.
You're going to...
When have we seen this child?
You will see him probably in several months when he is 14 years old.
That's true.
He will all of a sudden...
He'll probably be pretty handsome, too.
Yeah, he'll grow right up.
Maybe he could be a boyfriend for Colby.
Yes.
That'd be nice. So, okay. So then, I'll kind of wrap this up because it's kind of like draggy, but they have makeup sex on a couch, which I like. And then Greenlee apparently has also had hot sex with Aiden that night. And she calls Kendall to brag about Aiden in the sack. And I feel that little taste of bile in my throat. I feel a little sick. I felt like Kendall after she heard that her mother was in jail. I put my hand in my stomach and I went, it was disgusting. Wow. People, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I don't know who he is. I ain't buying. So then Zach tells Kendall that Aiden's going to be her bodyguard because at Confusion, Zach has asked Aiden to be her bodyguard because he's worried about Ryan. Dum, dum, dum. And why does Zach ask Aiden? Because I can trust you. Duh. So stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sick, Pedro. I'm so sick of Kendall and Aiden like... Oh, my God. We had sex. Oh, my God. We totally had sex and you're... what are we going to do? Get over yourself. You're grown-ups. You're adults. You're in your 30s. You had sex, so what? Get over it.
It's true.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Move on with your lives. You both got beautiful, blessed lives, people. And you're dwelling on your two-year-old, or I should say 12-year-old, you know, gossips and stupid issues and stuff. It's like, honestly, they're like 15-year-olds in high school. Oh, my God. You so can't tell anybody we had sex. You so cannot tell anybody. Do you promise? Do you totally promise?
Yeah, like, I promise.
Are you so sure?
Positive.
I can't, like, if you totally tell me that, like, my life will be totally over.
Okay. I won't say a word.
Are you sure? Like, are you totally, totally, totally positive?
I don't know who's after me for 20 years.
That's the wrong story.
Oh, wrong story.
Wrong story. Anyway, oh, by the way, the next day, Ryan comes over because Spike's cochlear implants are about to be turned on.
Mm.
And, you know, it's interesting because Ryan, you know, he's stuck in 2004.
I love that.
Apparently, so is his wardrobe because he's wearing that frayed coat. I hate that coat. What happened to the leather jacket he had that was so manly?
He's like Austin Powers.
He really is.
It's really funny. And I love that, like, they constantly say things to Ryan that, like, rub it in that he's not, like... Well, the doctor explained, oh, that's right, you don't remember. You know, like, oh, that
Blandy
was...
Blandy said that. Blandy's like, you know how they do this, Ryan. The doctor told you, remember?
I think it's 2004.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I forgot that you don't remember anything at all. Anyway, it was really dumb. So she keeps, like, rubbing it in that he doesn't remember anything. And, you know, the whole thing is, I like the storyline, though, Pedro. You were telling me that you
liked
it, too.
No, I like the storyline, too. I think they should Carlos have more fun it. With that. Like, everything should be like a memory challenge for Ryan from now on.
It was really cute, though, seeing Spike get his little cochlear implants.
Mm.
His hair, though.
Oh, that kid is rocking a serious bowl cut.
It's a really... I mean, but like, you know, you make fun of bowl cuts and stuff, but this is literally like... I'm telling you.
Severe.
I'm telling you, that there was a definite bowl that went on his head before his mama took them scissors to his head.
That is like a Pottery Barn bowl cut.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Kendall goes upstairs to check on Ian. And I'm like, who is she talking about? Who's this Ian?
Who? I just don't understand how you could... The kid is on television. How little thought could you put into his appearance?
Oh, you mean for Spike?
Yes.
Oh, he's back on Spike. I was on Ian, but he's on Spike.
Oh, you could say the same thing about Ian, too.
Well, they don't even think about his appearance at all because he don't appear. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
And in the meantime, Greenlee and Babe are bonding at Fusion. And Greenlee is bragging to Babe that... Because Babe says, I loved your dress, Greenlee. I loved your dress. It was awesome. And Greenlee's like, yeah, well, you can't have it because it's kind of ripped. Because Aiden ripped it off me last night. I swear she said that, people. I swear. Disgusting. Disgusting. Revolting. Disgusting. Babe has a nice booty. You and I disagreed on this, Pedro. See, I'm a Latin girl, so I like girls with booties.
She just seems
pasty. Not that I like girls. I love men. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I like a lady that has a nice figure and a nice booty. Mm-hmm. She got a nice booty. I don't like so much people. Amanda Baker. I'm still not sold on a girl. And I had a dream, people. I had a stupid dream, I swear to God, that I was going to Macy's and there was an appearance or a taping of All My Children and that Babe was back in her role. She was like in a bikini.
The old Babe?
The old Babe. The original Babe.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? Why would I dream that? The real Babe? The real Babe. Why would I dream that? That's scary.
I don't know.
I should be dreaming about like desert islands and stuff and me and... Who would I put? Me and Josh. That's what I put. Me and Josh on Desert Island.
Mm.
I like Josh. Colin Egglesfield. I'll be on a Desert Island with him. Anyway, I digress. So they're at Fusion and they, you know, they drink V8 Fusion and that's where Babe brings the Campbell's Healthy Request soup to the break room. But Aiden brings a picnic and decides to treat Greenlee with a picnic. Now, people, that girl, first of all, what that girl was rocking an outfit, Greenlee, Miss Greenlee, on Thursday's episode and Friday's too, that was out of this world. She had this gorgeous little olive green dress. It looked like a summery dress, though. It was very summery. Beautiful heels, black heels, and a gorgeous white coat, like a cream color white coat that was to die for. So they go up on that roof in February to have a picnic.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
That is Club Dumbo. Club Dumbo. My ass would be freezing. But reason, I'd be like, what? Are you crazy? It's February.
Well, there's global warming.
Dick. They start actually making love on the roof in the cold winter air.
Mm-hmm.
That roof is a very popular place to make love. I will tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy it in the summertime. Not no February. Anyway, then that's when the whole thing happens of Greenlee and Zach and Kendall going on the roof. And then Zach has this private little aside meeting with Greenlee where they drink that nuclear juice. And Zach tells Greenlee that he's going to hire Aiden to take care of Kendall because he don't trust Ryan. So they all agree. And Kendall and Aiden look uncomfortably at each other again, just like they do the whole episode, dwelling on the fact that they had sex. Oh, my God. We totally had sex. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. So dumb.
It is dumb.
That's how we ended the week with them. Oh, brother. Do you want to talk about Babe and JR?
No.
I had a hard time with this, people, because...
Whatever, it's nice. It's nice.
It's growing on me a little bit. I can't believe I just said that.
It really is a battle of who has better hair. It is, like, frightening.
Well, okay. I started the beginning of the week not taking no notes, people, because this is what I wrote. Babe and JR have this dumbass bet and flirt or episode about having sex... And I don't care! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Then they end up playing strip poker. And she's got these like fake eyelashes. People, she looks pretty good. I gotta admit. You don't think so, Pedro. You do not like... You know what I think it is? I think because you like the girls in the neighborhood now.
Mm-hmm.
That she's too like country girl for you or something.
I guess so. Yes, she needs hot pants.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You like the hot pants and the big booties. Except you don't like her booty. You still don't think she has enough booty.
No, she's just not my type. She's a little plain.
She's plain Jane.
Yes.
This is coming from a man who wears double wool socks and Birkenstocks. She's too plain for him.
At least I have my own style.
And the man hasn't seen a razor since 1987. Let's be honest. I'm talking about Pedro, that is.
This beard keeps me warm.
It's true. And she's too plain for
you. Know what I
him.
Saved on a winter coat?
This is what I like about you. That's funny. You are a mass of contradictions.
Mm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Special Johnny, who's not on the show anymore, people. He's done.
Poor Special Johnny.
They just shipped him off to Europe. No explanation. And they had Levin Rambin, Ava, I should say, flirting like at the fashion show with people. So that's pretty much done. Anyway. So then they flirt and they play strip poker. Actually, first they're playing regular poker and then they play strip poker. And... You know, I gotta say, I was a hair turned on. Is that disgusting?
No.
A little hair turned on. I thought she looked really good. I thought she looked sexy. I thought she had a nice figure. I thought she looked pretty. And he doesn't seem all that upset that she is playing to be, for him to be Richie's bone marrow donor.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought that storyline was actually
kind of nice. And he's kind of changing. And she had sex with him, people, like 3 more times.
Yeah, they had 24 hours. Yeah.
That's a lot of flesh flapping. I will say it again. That is a lot of flesh flapping. Mm-hmm. They're still a little awkward with each other, though, people. Isn't that funny? Like the actor Jacob Young and Alexa Havens had a chemistry, and they developed a comfort level with each other. But these two don't have it. It's mm-hmm. still very, like, stiff a little bit. Right. Like, even when they wake up after lovemaking, they're still a little stiff. It's a mm-hmm. little weird. Anyway. But it was okay. It was okay for me. I'm telling you. But then in the meantime, you have Evil Richie plotting his evil ways, because he finds out he had this funny scene, people, with this nurse. This mousy nurse who he kind of cons into leaving the room so he could break into the computer system at the Pine Valley Hospital. First of all, we all gotta know. I mean, the security at Pine Valley Hospital is pretty lax.
They gotta work on that.
They gotta work on it.
Because I think if you just installed a simple password onto a computer, it's not, you know, that is at least the beginning of a preventative measure.
There's got to be something a little more
tougher
out there in terms of computer security.
I think so.
So he's like getting some checkup or something, and he's like, you know, I lost my wallet. Can you find it for me? And she's like, no, I can't. I can't leave the room. And he's like, please, pretty please. So she does. It was a cute scene. I really liked it, actually. I thought it was funny. And then he goes, he gets a password. He finds out it's JR. And then he plots in his deviltry, evilest ways that he's going to have these thugs basically kidnap JR and suck the bone marrow out of his fleshy body.
Mm.
They better bring a whole lot of needles. They might have a tough time getting through that meat.
Yeah, that's... I can't even think about that. That's disgusting.
Honestly, it was really scary. I have to give to you. And that's another thing. They need some security in that freaking Pine Valley Hospital parking lot.
Yeah, that's a dangerous place.
That's where Babe got almost killed by the Satin Slayer. People get accosted there, you know, attacked.
You would think they would at least put up better security lights.
Something. A camera, people. Something, please. I mean, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's pretty creepy.
You would think that parking lot would be, you think about the most dangerous places in America.
Yes.
You have Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Houston.
Yep.
And the parking lot in Pine Valley.
Pine Valley Hospital.
Yeah.
Pine Valley Hospital mm-hmm. parking lot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would like to see the crime figures, the ratio, if you will.
I'm going to say it's a close second, if not an easy third to some of the.
Easy third, yeah, no doubt.
To some of the cities.
No doubt. Mm. So he gets kidnapped after they make love like the third time and she sends him on his way. He gets kidnapped by these thugs, right? And at the same time, Richie comes over to visit Babe, and she tells him the good news that JR has agreed to be his donor. And, like, instead of Richie getting nervous that, like, he is potentially killing a man who was going to give him bone marrow anyway, he's happy because that means JR is going to be out of the picture.
Yeah, I thought that was a good twist, too. Like, I like...
not evil.
It was just good. He's good. He's very good.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with him, though. He's got to be leaving. He's got to be. He's too evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's purely evil now.
Mm.
You can't redeem purely evil, pretty much. You could. The only way to redeem purely evil is to make him special.
Oh, that's true.
Give him a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And even that didn't save Special Johnny.
Yeah, that's true.
He got the axe.
JR was purely evil for a while.
JR has always been both.
Mm.
Always been both. He's like a pendulum.
That's true.
He goes one way, then the other, then one way, then the other. And that's what keeps him interesting, and that's what keeps him on the show. This Billy person, that's not happening with him at all.
Mm.
He's purely evil.
It's true.
So I'm not thrilled about that because I like him. I think he's good. But it was creepy because the very end, we see JR on that bed, conscious, and he's about to get a needle stuck in him by the goons.
Yeah, that's messed up.
I find that realistic, though. Doesn't that happen? Don't people get kidnapped for their organs and stuff?
That organ harvesting is...
I'm being serious with you.
Yes, that happens.
Like, I heard it's like kind of like a urban legend, but I think it's actually, there's some truth to it. I think there's some cases, some evidence of that happening.
It absolutely happens.
So that's scary.
Yes, it is.
It's a scary twist. I like it. Then, people, final story of the day. We got Erica. Erica getting arrested. LaLucci getting arrested. It's not really a new story, I gotta say.
She's done time before.
Too many times to count. If I Wikipedia Erica Kane and jail time, it would be at least 3 pages long.
Well, she'll be very comfortable.
She actually had the nerve to say, "You can't lock me up. I'm Erica Kane."
She's got a point.
That's not true. She's been locked up a zillion, kajillion times.
The jailer should have said that.
My God. I did love, though, people, when she got arrested at the fashion show, she got that deer in the headlights look and the flashbulb went. It was awesome. I loved that. It was pretty great. She gets taken to the station in handcuffs. Now, I gotta tell you, this is my biggest problem with this whole story. She gets her accounts frozen, and she can't figure out why her accounts got frozen. She's gotta go on to a huge fashion show and get publicly humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
You remember they had that whole scene? They had this whole scene in the boardroom where she's gonna find out why her accounts are frozen. She can't find out. That's bull malarkey.
Was her mugshot sponsored by Campbell's?
You know, it might have been, but you know what was funny about the mugshot? They took it like 10 different ways. Like she went, it was like a fashion photography session because she posed for it. It was like, kew, 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 kew. Meanwhile, they only take two shots in a mugshot. They take your face and your profile.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like posing for it. I love that. That was funny. A little unrealistic, but hysterical. Erica, if nothing else, has balls. She's got a lot of balls. That means balls, people. That's my Tony Soprano imitation. Erica Kane, she's got a lot of balls.
You got to roll your lip.
Can you do it for me?
She's got a lot of balls.
Say, Erica Kane's got a lot of balls.
Erica Kane's got a lot of balls.
I don't know why that makes me laugh, people. It does. What else do we got? Oh, so she, the long of it is that she basically tries to bribe the man. She tells him that she will help him become senator if he makes this go away. And he says, okay. And then he arrests her again, or brings another charge again of her, on her for bribery.
Mm. It's a lose-lose.
She's crazy. So she gets thrown in jail. That's where she screams that, "You can't do this to me. I'm Erica Kane." And then she goes to court. They have a hearing, and they have this judge who's kind of a hard ass. And I like that judge, though. I liked her. She sets a $1 million bail for Erica Kane.
Well, she's a mogul.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
So you bought that?
Well, I don't know. I honestly, I have no idea, you know, it's how like severe the charges are.
It's not like she's like Hannibal Lecter.
I would need to know more about the case.
She's not Hannibal Lecter.
I would have to examine her assets. $1 million,
Pedro.
I would have to explore her counsel's options. I would need more facts. I would need more facts.
But the funniest thing, people. See, I'm starting to love Miss LaLucci. Miss LaCane, I should say, the character. Because she is starting to get to that point where she's like a caricature a little bit. Jack takes her home. And puts her to bed. And she goes to sleep in a full face of makeup and hair done. And she has this sexy dream about Mario Van Peebles where they kiss Samuel Woods, the guy who plays Samuel Woods, where they kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And she smiles in her dream. And she's just tickled and pleased and just feeling so sexy about Samuel Woods. And I'm cracking up.
Why?
Because she's such a diva. It's so funny to me.
Mm.
I found it comical. I enjoyed it.
Hmm.
I especially love the full face of makeup and hair. That was precious to me. Precious. That's all I got. We've talked a lot.
You have talked a lot.
All right, fine, Pedro. That's what the people listen for. They listen to hear my commentary and topics.
That is true.
Listen, people, I got to remind you of one thing. We got friends out there. Friends in the All My Children fan space world, okay? If you know what I'm saying. One of my good friends, Super Poster of the Year, he has an All My Children fan space page, and it is awesome. You can find it by going to www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. And in fact, I believe, I could be a little late on this, but I know last week they were running a contest on abc.com to name the favorite fan websites. So if you go, he's got a great website chock full of information and recaps and spoilers and interviews and everything. So nominate him because he's great. Thank you, people, for listening, as always. You can always, always, always tell us what you think by writing us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, Or you can go to our website for links to all of this, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Thank you for being with us this week, Pedro.
Thank you for having me, Ashley.
Did you have fun?
It was an exciting ride through Pine Valley.
I'm so glad that you were here to take it with us.
Well, thank you.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
I'm Peter.
Pedro. And here's a little something just for you.
Baby. Just like it was.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Two kids, huh? Sneaking off to be alone. Still here we are. Come here.
It was probably the first time I ever lied to my parents. And I was so in love with you.
Me too. And I wanted you so bad.
I did too. But it scared me.
I knew that. Guess I shouldn't have gotten that hotel room that night, huh?
Oh, no. Jesse, you are so wrong. You did exactly the right thing. You know, you made everything so right that night, and you made me love you even more.
I always want to do the right thing by you, Angie. I want to do the right thing by you now. But it's not going to be easy.
Jesse, I'm not stupid. I know you want to tell me something bad about what happened, what really happened 20 years ago, but I can't hear it. Not yet. Maybe I just need you to give me some time. Please. I need you to give us tonight. Give me my dreams.